our help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 119, the stanzas 4 and 6. Psalm 119, the stanzas 4 and 6.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this evening, our, can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians chapter 4. But first we will confess our faith with the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, Galatians 4. Now I say that a heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How by then, when ye knew not God, ye did a service unto them, which by nature are no gods? But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And ye observe days and months and times and years, and I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not endured me at all. And ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor ye rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. And where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out all your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And they jealousy affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be jealousy affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail, my birth again unto Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. And which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which has an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what said the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So far the Scripture reading, and let us pray. Lord, we are gathered together for the second time this day, and we pray for thy attendance and thy Spirit, because there is no expectation of man. All of us, we are completely fleshly, sold under sin, like Abraham was in expecting fruit from Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the son of the bondwoman. O Lord, by nature we are all sons and daughters of the bondwoman, and we need to be delivered from the power of the devil and from the bondage of the law. Lord, take reason out of thyself, because there is no any reason in man that can please thee. Make us free from under the law, and revive us again if we belong to thee. And that thy Spirit may dwell in us, in leading us and moving us in thy ways. O Lord, we went off-road in paradise, but we took the wrong way. We have chosen for the off-road to please the devil, but that terrible disobedience is heading to eternal destruction. O Lord, make us willing to accept our punishment and lead us back on the right way, which is Christ. Give us a heart and mouth to tell all the rights of thy mouth, and the only truth, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh to save lost sinners. Lord, break down the kingdom of the devil worldwide and increase thy kingdom all over the world. And be with the widows and the orphans, the sick and afflicted. Be with thy people in countries where they are persecuted, also in the Netherlands. This world is full of enmity against thee, and by nature our hearts too. But renew us as in the days of old. It doesn't matter when we have to go a lonesome way, if we may belong to thee, O Lord, if we may be thy own, then everything is all right. If we may belong to thee in Christ, then we have our footsteps in heaven. O Lord, open thy word and our hearts to hear what the Spirit has to say to the congregation. We pray thee in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, as a preparation for the preaching, first we will sing Psalm 42, verse 6. Psalm 42, verse 6. Thank you. inspiration the text for the preaching can be found in the letter of Paul to the Galatians, what we have read, chapter 4, verse 30, where we read again, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the free woman, with the son of the free woman." Beloved, a couple weeks ago we have heard of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened to Lot. Lot's wife, you know, became a salt pillar when she looked back to Sodom, but Lot escaped to the mountains with his two daughters. And after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot has never seen Abram on earth again. But where did Abram go? Well, it says, "And Abram journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Sur, and so journeyed in Gerar." Abram has left the scene of the disaster, away from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and with Sarah, Hagar and Ishmael, he has left for the land of the Philistines. Yeah, probably because he didn't want to be reminded of that terrible region every day. Can be. But in our opinion, also because Abram thought that Lot had perished in Sodom. Yeah. Because he has no reason to stay there, but all the reason to leave that place. And the eternity will reveal that the Lord has had mercy on Lot, but we don't read anything about Lot anymore in Genesis. He died in solitude. But his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we have that, and we have to know that personally, you know, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And do you know what Lot has been doing for ages now? Do you know that, beloved? Lot stands, so to speak, right in front of heaven, and now he is praising God forever. And do you hear him? Do you hear him sing through him alone? That is the praise of the saints in heaven. That's why Lot has been saved, and because of nothing else. And can we say this too, beloved? Mark well, orthodoxy doesn't protect any man from well-deserved punishment. No. God requires perfect obedience. Do this, and you shall live. What? To obey God's commandments perfectly. Yeah. "But I have kept the law from my youth," said the rich young man to the Lord Jesus. Well, this young man had made good progress, we would say. And the Lord Jesus loved him, it says in God's word. "For it does make a difference how ones live, mind you, especially when we have a baptized forehead. As a covenant children, you cannot do what you want." Yeah, you would say that rich young man did better than Lot. Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Pharisee also said. "I give tithes of everything. I give everybody his due. I pray at the corners of the streets, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank thee that I am not like that publican, who steals from people, who steals everything. And Lord, you may be happy that there are still such good people as I am, for I keep the law and I am a child of Abraham. I have never served anyone else." But that publican, "Lord, that wicked monster sinned every day against thy holy law." But I didn't. I am the better man. "And I thank thee, Lord, for that. that I am not as bad like the publican in the back of the temple. Yeah. Don't look for that Pharisee too far, because that Pharisee lives in our heart. And that's also what the Orthodoxy says, what the Pharisee says in the front of the temple. Exactly the same in our days. That Pharisee in front of the temple is still alive. And that kind of people, they live from do this and do that. But hell is full of that Orthodoxy, for the devil can also pretend to be Orthodox. The devil is very religious, especially in our days. But he trembled and feared. The devil doesn't mind you going to church and live decently. He has no objections at all. But do you know when he becomes your enemy? Do you know that? When you feel to be publican before God, and your last prayer with tears in your eyes, O God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And that's what the devil attacks. He won't have anything of this. But Lot knew what it was in the publican's frame. Do you understand that? Yeah, probably he ends his life in a cave. Not by suicide, no. But in the Lord's providence. But his name was written in the Lamb's book. And that's what we have seen in his righteous soul. He was vexed in Sodom, and he locked himself out when the Sodomites forced themselves upon him, when he refused to give up the two angels to him. But the rich young man and the pious Pharisee didn't know anything of this. They lived and rested upon what they did, what they did themselves. But Lot could finally rest upon what God had done for him, what Christ has done for him. And he has sung for this for ages. Now, that's quite something, isn't it? Grace for the chief of sinners. But we must continue. We must quickly go after Abram, for he had left in the meantime, we said. And where did he go? Well, God's words tell us. And Abram journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. So Abram had gone to the Philistines. Now, that is quite something too, Abram, the father of all believers, to the Philistines. Yeah. Yeah, the Bible tells us so. But someone says that wasn't much better than Sodom and Gomorrah, I guess. Now, wait a minute. The Philistines didn't fear God, that's true. And that was terrible, but they hadn't sunk so deep that one can say what one of you just observed, that they weren't better than the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then we do them injustice, for up till now the judgment of destruction has not yet been executed upon them, though they are listed among the enemies of the people of Israel. For in God's word we read that they fear the God of Israel. And that fear was legalistic. Except Goliath, that big man. Yeah. Do you know what Goliath said to David? Let us see who is the better man. Yeah, but he came to grief, and not Goliath, but David was the better man. Because David came to the mocking Goliath in strength, in the strength and in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And we hope to deal with the fight between David and Goliath next Sunday, the Lord willing. So Abram came to Gerar in the days of the king Abimelech, who reigned over the Philistines, and Sarah, his wife, was with him. But Abram was of a different opinion. Probably he hadn't yet learned enough in Egypt, for here also he says of Sarah, she is my sister. Why did Abram say this? Well, Abram was afraid that Abimelech would kill him because of the beauty of Sarah. We have seen it the same when Abram was in Egypt. He was afraid that they would steal Sarah because of her beauty and therefore kill him. But Abram, the Lord had helped you out in Egypt when Pharaoh wanted to take Sarah to wife, hadn't he? And then the Lord had preserved Sarah, notwithstanding your lie that Sarah was your sister. Yeah. I hear somebody say, now Abram had learned his lesson. Abram was the father of all believers, wasn't he? Sure. He not only was this, but he also remained so. But he didn't have his faith in exercise. For true faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence. Yeah, you can read it in the Bible. It's not my word. It's not my doctrine. But also an assured confidence. And Abram had more confidence in God's people, in the fear of the Lord, than in God Himself. How do you know that, preacher? Well, you can read this in Genesis 20. Verse 11, read it. For when Abimelech had taken Sarah because of her beauty, God warns him in a dream that he would be a dead man if he took Sarah as his wife. And what happened next? Well, Abimelech proves his innocence to the Lord, for he didn't know better. He thought that Sarah was Abram's sister and he couldn't possibly be his wife. And now the Lord also knew that Abimelech was upright in this matter, but God's faithfulness to Sarah was so great, beloved, was so great, that God told Abimelech that he would be a dead man if he touches her all the same. But then Abimelech went to Abram and he blamed him very much that he had lied about Sarah by calling her his sister. And what does Abram do now? What does he say to this? He says to Abimelech, because I thought surely of the fear of God isn't in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. So the father of all believers had put his trust in those who fear the Lord and not in God Himself. That's very dangerous, beloved. That's idolatry. Yeah. And beloved, no light shines so clearly without there being a shadow once in a while. Just look at the father of all believers. And Abram had surely been called a father of many nations by God, and God had also promised him that out of him the Messiah would be born. For that reason God had protected Sarah, not because she was such a good woman, no. For she had laughed at God's promise, hadn't she? Do you remember that? But God preserves his seed by sheltering Sarah off from adultery. And for then there is the wonder of fulfillment of the promise of the child of promise. For Sarah conceived and bare a son and called him Isaac. That was the child of promise, but not the seed. The seed of promise was Christ. And it was hidden in Isaac. And do you know when God fulfilled his promise? When Abram prayed for the house of Abimelech, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And do you know when God makes his children fertile? You know that? When they find out that Christ has prayed for barren people who won't be able to bear fruit in all eternity. For it says, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. That was because the Lord said to the fig tree. And God's people will experience that. They are like that fig tree, which has leaves on self-righteousness, but will never be able to bear fruit anymore, which are pleasing to God. And then, eternal miracle, eternal wonder, the Lord promises his people something. What does he say? And what do he said? From me is thy fruit found. So the fruit is there already. We have not to produce fruit. The fruit is there already in Christ, in the tree, in the green tree. And in that way, Abram and Sarah received the fulfillment of the promise. And now Abram had to experience, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And that's why he could pray for Abimelech and turn away God's judgment from him. So when Abram has become barren before God, then he receives fruit from God to pray for Sarah. No way. Praying for Abimelech was the way in which the Lord made Sarah fertile. For after that, Sarah conceived, it says. And God's children become fertile when they have no fruits of self anymore. Look, and then it becomes a lost case on man's side, and that's necessary to receive the desired fruit from God. But then the false fruit must be cast out. I hear someone say, you were to write about Hagar and Ishmael, preacher. Oh yes, that reminds me. But to tell you the truth, I had to tell you this story first to show what false fruit Abram had kept. Abram had kept false fruit, and that was Ishmael. For it had been up to Abram, he would have considered Ishmael as the child of promise. Isn't that true? But God doesn't give his honor to graven images. And it doesn't mean that the Lord wanted to destroy Ishmael, no. But he wasn't to have any part in the covenant which God wanted to establish with Isaac. Therefore it says, In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And when Isaac has been born, Sarah laughs again, but not in unbelief now, no, but for joy because of God's faithfulness concerning his own word. And beloved, when you may partake in God's faithfulness, you will laugh also. But that will be laughing through the tears of marveling. And then you will give the honor to God. For what does Sarah do? She gives God the honor due to him. Therefore it says to Abram, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be here with the free woman, with the son of the free woman. And Sarah cast all her self-made fruits away. And that was to the honor of God. And Because she was the cause. She was the cause when Abraham took Hagar to fulfill the promise by himself. Sarah was the great advisor of this matter. But for Abraham it was very painful to cast out the bondwoman, for he doesn't take leave of Ishmael until the Lord convinces him that Sarah was right. And Abraham does it willingly, for it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away." See them go into the desert, into the wilderness of Beersheba. But one bottle of water is soon gone in the weeping wilderness. And everyone that know what wilderness is, do agree with this. What is a bottle of water in the weeping wilderness, in the desert? And Ishmael was dehydrated soon, and Hagar put him under one of the shrubs and sat down over against him, but far enough from Ishmael not to see him die. And would that be the end? But was it not harsh what it says in Genesis 21, verse 14, our text? By no means. But the humanist will explode if he read this, but such people seem to be more merciful than the Lord. But it is nothing but sentiment. A kind of mercy which we also meet in our circles today, and that is called Christian charity. But do you know what charity is according to God's word? Cast out the bondwoman. That means, do not mix law and gospel. Don't convert the old man, because flesh will not inherit the heaven. And there has been an holy deal between the Father and the Son in the eternity, for Christ would never be able to buy his people unless he became the surety to pay with the price of his blood. And in the silent eternity, Christ became surety to draw near to God when the Father demanded his image. For it says, "Who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me?" And how was this possible? For God is a consuming fire, an everlasting burning with whom nobody can dwell. But then Christ became surety willingly to redeem his people at the highest price of his own blood. And therefore God has loved his people with an everlasting love, beloved, because that love was shown in the sacrifice of Christ, who has been surety from eternity. So love, real love, divine love, is judicial love. It has been paid for. It may be hard to understand, but why don't we understand this? Is the difficulty in God? No, it is on our side. And by nature we don't want that which God wants, to be saved out of free grace. We are enemies of to be saved out of free grace. A man wants to be saved, of course, but then his damnable flesh must be preserved. But of course, God doesn't do this. But then, how does it work? My beloved, believe in him who in due time died for the ungodly. And there it says in Romans 5 verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And it says in verse 8, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So when you, damnable sinner in our midst, were still playing in sin, then Christ already died for you if you believe in him who justifies the ungodly freely. And then you cannot live in sin anymore. That's impossible. And someone says, but preacher, that is really too easy for me. Yes, I thought so, man. That would be a wonder if one could believe that. Belief is the heaviest thing in spiritual life. Faith. It's very heavy. And of course, we don't mean universal redemption, no. But seeing the love of God in Christ toward ungodly people, it is a miracle that one person becomes lost. Do you hear this? But you say, it won't be that easy. No, man. Because you don't want to live by grace. That's the point. And do you know what you want? And that is the darkness in our days. You want a gospel in which the law becomes a little friendlier and the gospel a little stricter. That is the preaching in our days. And then the gospel became a new law. But that is Rome. That is the doctrine of Rome. God will never do that. You can be saved by free grace or be damned righteously forever by the law. And beloved, when you claim you are converted and you can still live in sin, you are never converted. No. That is another thing to fall down in sin. Every child of God knows this. But they cannot live in sin anymore. And do you know what you will be and remain then? The opposite, what is written in Romans 5, verse 6 and 8, what we have read. For God's people that will never improve. That's a very good thing. God's people will fill eternity with it. With what? That Christ died for such monsters, and my conversion took place on Calvary, Dr. Kohlberger said. That's true. Amen. But Ishmael is dying. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live through the faith in the Son of God, Paul says. And there before the law I am a dead man. And now Ishmael was not a personification of the law, no. No, only want to make clear that more first is made for the son of the bondwoman than for the child of promise. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. That is what is written in Galatians 4 verse 30. And Abram was bothered by it too. He did his best for Ishmael, but what was the end? Cast him out. But for the time, God is also merciful to Ishmael and Esau. Oh yeah. They multiply. They were very, very big people. For whom is God not merciful? Tell me. For whom is God not merciful? He follows everybody with his goodness, with his providence. There's not enough for salvation, be aware, there's not enough for salvation. Look at the 10 lepers, all of them are healed by Jesus, but only one Samaritan gives the honor to God. And then sounds the question, where are the 9? And nevertheless, they were allowed to keep their recovery, the 9, but the Lord is not thrifty. Nobody can say that. No, the Lord is not thrifty. But in the day of judgment, their recovery in this time will condemn them to everlasting contempt because they can do without the benefactor. But the Samaritan didn't. He cannot live without the benefactor. He returns on his way to the Lord Jesus. He will flat on the ground and give God the praise. But what God promises for this time, he will surely fulfill. For God had promised to Hagar that Ishmael would become a great man. A great man. Yeah. He would make him a great nation. Yeah. And we see it also by Esau. Look to Esau. He became a great nation. And that's what the Lord did. For God appeared to Hagar and showed her a well of water in the desert, which has been hidden from her eyes. And God was with the lad, and he became an ark. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Yeah, Paul calls Hagar and Sarah examples of the two covenants. Just read it in Galatians 4, verse 24. And that is important to know, for the difference between the two covenants is essential. In this text, the Greek word allegorauma is used, which means it is history that is true, but also a spiritual picture. It is a picture of spiritual matters. It signifies spiritual things. Hagar signifies the covenant of works, do this and thou shalt live. And Sarah is a picture of the covenant of grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So if you want to obey Hagar a little, then you are an enemy of Christ, a persecutor, the marginal notes say, like Ishmael, mocked with the child of promise. Are you Ishmael? You have been Ishmael, do you became Ishmael for God? Without grace, crying for mercy. Yeah. He became a persecutor of the child of promise. And that is the Hagarene resistance against free grace. So if we want to be saved through the covenant of works, beloved, then we will the thrust out of the inheritance like Hagar and her son. Then we will be thrust out of the inheritance like Hagar and her son. For by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. The law condemns, but the gospel sets free. Now, beloved, beseech God for grace, for free grace, for Jesus' sake, he sets free from the sentence of the law. Somebody says, I cannot wait that long. For with my burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne. Is that right? Then beseech Jesus directly. Then you have to cry, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Give me Jesus, else I die. For outside Jesus there is no life, but everlasting perdition. And he shall give you, he is able to give you rest. He is the only authority to do that, to give you rest. Do you have a heart of stone? He melts stones. His love overcomes the most obdurate sinner. And how did Abram fare? Now we can be short about it, for Abram lived with Abimelech in peace. If you please the Lord, then your enemies will be reconciled with you. Yeah. Abram lived in peace with Abimelech, and with him he had made the covenant in Beersheba. And then Ephraim called there on the name of the everlasting God. That was a public worship service in which the neighbor were also in attendance. That is not so in our days. Every church has their own pastor. Also behind the walls. But Abram, he had a public worship service in which the neighbor were also in attendance. Everybody was welcome. And everybody know that they were welcome. So Abram had done some mission work in the land of the Philistines. We have to do the same. Abram had been granted to testify of his God, who had surrounded him with his faithful care, but who had also fulfilled his promise in the birth of Isaac after a time of trial. That's also the way of God. The fulfillment of the promise goes through a way of trial, a time of trial. And also the promised seed, about the promised seed it is written, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, God had made this true already. This we live in the end times. Do you know that? We live in the end times. And the Lord is coming. And we hear it, we hear his footsteps in the earthquakes all around us, all over the places. We hear about earthquakes, wars. Christ is coming to judge the quick and the dead. But Abram was granted to testify of God, who had brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And this testimony will surely have borne fruit for, do you think so? For the poet sings of it, behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. Where? In Sidon and Tyre. Let us first sing together. Psalm 87, the verses 2 and 3. Psalm 87, the verses 2 and 3.
Oh.
story goes on, for it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abram. And he said, Behold, here am I. And the Lord said to Abram, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning to obey God. And Abram saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and went there. Yeah, beloved, to obey is better than sacrifice. Eh? Now, Abram did both. Obey is better than sacrifice, but Abram did both. He obeyed the Lord and went to sacrifice Isaac at his command, believing that God could raise him from the dead. And there they go, Abram, Isaac, and the two guys. And they have walked for 3 days. It's a long journey. And then they came to the place which God had told them, and Abram must have thought many things. For in order to sacrifice, one needed an animal. But they hadn't brought one. But Abram acted in faith. For he said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Do you hear that, beloved? Abram said, I and the lad will worship. That's quite something. Abram could worship the Lord while he had to sacrifice Isaac. Now, that's glorifying God. But to worship the Lord in a land that was shown, and a land that was not shown. In Dutch we said, in een bezaaid en een onbezaaide wegen. But he says more, and I and the lad come again to you. He says, I and the lad. So Abram believed firmly that he would return with Isaac. What a faith, wasn't it? Yeah. If this happens today, Abram would land in prison. Yeah, I'm sure of it. No, not so, for what the Lord commands must be carried out. No man can stop this, mind you. Even if it is squarely against human conception. This happens even now, but what a trial for Abram. First he had been promised by God that he would receive a child of promise, and then it had become impossible for Sarah, because Sarah was too old to bear a child, her womb was as good as dead. Yeah. But the Lord had confirmed the promise, and through impossible ways Sarah had conceived and born Isaac. But what happened next? Then Isaac was plagued by Ishmael, was persecuted by Ishmael. So this was also an impossible situation till Hagar was cast out. But then, rest at last. For a little while they had received rest, and Abram and Sarah had seen Isaac growing up with joy. Now finally the circumstances were all right. And Isaac had become a sturdy young lad, and now Abram is told to sacrifice him. To sacrifice him. Now, beloved, you may say something once in a while, but one thing Abram could say, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And God's people have a tried faith. And that faith is more precious, beloved, than the finest gold on earth. For The trial of faith, what does it work? A peaceable fruit of righteousness. And it could be exercised by Abraham here, for it was a peaceable righteousness. Eh? Then you can be in darkness and have light all the same. Eh? For it says, for he that walketh in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. But Isaac was wondering what the sacrifice would be. Eh? He asked to his father, what is the sacrifice, what is the sacrificial lamb, father? Where is the sacrifice? With other words, we have forgotten nothing but the most important thing, the sacrificial lamb. But then the answer sounds, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. What the language of faith, isn't it? And in the meanwhile, they reached the top of the Mount Moriah, and Abraham prepared the altar and tied Isaac to it. We don't read at all that Isaac offered resistance, no. Isaac was the sacrifice. And Isaac had subjected to God and suffered himself to be bound willingly. And then Abraham raised a knife to slaughter his son. It was no murder, no killing. Yeah, it was a killing, but in God's favor. That must have been quite something for Isaac and also for Abraham, his father. But that is the way of the church. For when Christ hides himself behind God's justice, then the church must die. For what is Isaac an image of? Of whom is Isaac a type? Of Christ, somebody says. Yeah, that is often said, but that isn't true. For Christ was stabbed by the knife of God's avenging justice. But the knife hung over Isaac. It didn't stab him. So Isaac was and is a type of the living church. Christ was stabbed by the sword of the avenger, not Isaac. And Isaac should have undergone that, but the Lord Jesus went in his place. And Isaac experienced that he would have undergone it, and under the holy justice he was, under the holy justice of God, he was willing, because Christ had become willing from eternity to perish under that justice. For whom? For Isaac and for the whole church. For when the knife went down, when Isaac had to die, know then he had died. And when he had died, he didn't have to die. For then God intervened. Abram, Abram. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And that Abram didn't know beforehand. No. But he may trust the Lord in faith. That he was able to give Isaac his son, give him back to him. And we said of Isaac that he had already died before he was stabbed with the knife. That's true, in spiritual sense. And that's what the Lord causes his church to experience. For I for you, then it became a miracle. I for you, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death. And what God's children should have undergone, Christ willingly has undergone for them. So, beloved, that is love. That one sacrifices his life for one's friends. Yeah. This is something one can understand. But that someone sacrifices his life for enemies, for ungodly people, for lost sinners. No, I cannot understand that. God's people need an eternity to understand that. I know that wonder in my own life, but I cannot understand that. We cannot understand God, no. And even after a billion years, God's people still won't understand anything of it. God's people need an eternity to marvel at this wonder. And they'll never get finished with it. No. And do you know what Lot, to go back to him for a moment, do you know what Lot would say now that he has been magnifying God for ages? Lot would say, "Beloved, I still have to begin to start marveling at God. I still have to start with it." And beloved, don't you feel like fearing the Lord, walking with him day by day? And God will lead him safely, onward, guide him in the chosen way. Yeah, and after Abraham and Isaac had sacrificed the ram that was caught in a shrub, they had sung together, "Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is ever for our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God, our shield, is over us, through him alone, whose presence goes before us, we'll wear the victor's crown." For God had provided himself a lamb for the burnt offering. That ram pointed to Christ. That ram behind the back of Abraham pointed to Christ. Christ had suffered himself to be caught in the thicket of our unrighteousness. To provide himself as a lamp to his father instead of his people. The Lord will provide. And people of God, when you had come there into the place of judgment, where you had to cry out, "Lost, lost, forever," what happened then? Then God said to the lost, "Stretch not forth thy hand, stretch not forth thy hand, neither do thou anything to him, for I have found reconciliation in the blood of the Lamb for him." But that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, so that the sentence of the law would be carried out, God spoke, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." For those people will be persecuted, they that have been saved from the sentence of the law. And the sheep of Christ will be scattered. But God has prepared a place in the house of the Father. He takes them up into his glory. There is only one good shepherd who look after the sheep. That's the Lord Jesus. And people of God, what did you sing then? When the Lord Jesus became your shepherd. What did you sing then? I tell you what you have sung then. "When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past, and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide, then shall I be satisfied." Isn't that true? The sentence was executed, but Christ intervened, and he has caught a sword of divine justice, and it pierced his heart. And still the blood, beloved, of propitiation is flowing out of his mediator's heart. Still the dying Savior calls to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Oh my beloved, go go to that fountain of blood, to that fountain of living water, so that you may be washed of your dung, yeah, of all your filthy sins. Or do you prefer to be saved by the law, by your so-called good works? Would you rather stay alive by means of your damned works? And do you want to remain a decent Christian? Will you remain a sweet girl, a sweet child, hey, who doesn't need this fountain of blood? And then you will chew your tongue forever in eternal damnation. And then I hear cry, if only I had, if only I had, if only, if only. But in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And then the Lord confirmed his promise concerning the seed to Abram once more. In his seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And for out of all families, yea, out of all the nations of the earth, God will bring in his elect. And a peculiar people, a priestly people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called from all the nations of the earth. For it says, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And that means in Christ God's people are more than conquerors, and in him they shall inherit the earth. Yea, there shall be their lasting rest, their children's heritage. And that also have meaning in time, but certainly in the new heaven and on the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God doesn't want slaughter but dedication. God makes his people obedient to his demand, and when they have been brought there, God gives what he requires himself. In the mount, remember, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Abram returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to the ship to Beersheba, and Abram dwelt at Beersheba. Now how Abram and Isaac will have told Sarah of the wonders of God's ways, that is for sure. But soon after this, Sarah died. Sarah had become 127 years. And that is quite an age by today's standards. All that is dust will have an end. And that's what Sarah had to undergo. And Abraham and Isaac had to experience this. But dying was not a sad thing for the old Sarah, for God had prepared a place for Sarah in Christ, in the house of the Father. And God had mentioned for her in the court of heaven, he took her up in Father's house. And on earth she had lived in tents with her husband, but now she was granted to enter in the new Jerusalem, where the streets are of gold, and where Christ is in the throne at the right hand of the Father, who had redeemed her to God by his own blood. And Abram will bury Sarah at Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abram also mourns because of Sarah's death, for it says, and Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abram mourned for Sarah, and that is allowed, for flesh cannot do without flesh. Nowadays, it doesn't seem necessary anymore. But for Abram, it wasn't just a matter of duty. No, he couldn't do otherwise. And it was due to the bond of love with which Abram was bound to Sarah. But it was a bond which was not broken with Sarah's death. Remember, no, God's people are bound together with everlasting bonds. Yeah, through the love of Christ. The love stands forever. But in natural life, Abram and Sarah had also loved each other. Eh? They had a very good marriage. Hmm? For Sarah called Abram her Lord. Yeah. Well, I've never heard of it for my own wife. No. But I have a good wife, the best one. Hmm? Yeah. But in this order, Sarah followed Abram in all his ways. And that were the ways of the Lord. Hmm? That were the ways of the Lord. And Sarah obeyed her husband and called Abram her Lord. Yeah. She didn't do so out of slavish fear, no, but out of esteem for her loving husband. Yeah. Now, I have also married a Sarah. Yeah, I can tell you that. And together they had shared the good and the bad things of life. And now the end for Sarah had come in respect to her life on earth. For now, after her death, she could live forever and share in God's free favor, which had moved God to allow Sarah to live in his house. Sarah was buried. She gets a royal burial in the cave of Machpelah, which with the sons of Heth. And Abram asked the sons of Heth to sell him a burying place for his beloved wife Sarah. He wanted to pay the last honors to Sarah. Abram bought the cave of Machpelah to bury Sarah. He bought that cave. We read it in Genesis 20:23. And someone says, but God had promised to Abram that he would receive this land for his seed, hadn't he? Yeah, but Abram would receive it from God, and therefore he couldn't take it himself. For so to speak, he could bury Sarah without money, for Ephron, the chief of the people, offered Abram a lot of land without asking money. And the children of Heth held Abram in high esteem, for they called him a mighty prince among them. Yeah. But Abram spoke in the gate with the elders and bought the cave of Machpelah. He bought the cave of Machpelah in a right way. Hmm? And Sarah didn't just get a grave, it was a sanctified grave. For who actually paid for this funeral? Abram? No. God himself paid for the tomb. For Abram was a foreigner in a strange country. His life was paid for by God. And years ago, Abram had spoken to the king of Sodom when the latter wanted to give him presents. I have lifted my hand unto the Lord. And he didn't want to get anything from him, so that the king wouldn't say, I have made Abram rich. Abram was a steward of the goods, of the good God, of the goods God had given him. And Abram gave an account of his stewardship. Can we give an account of our stewardship to the Lord? And after that he buried Sarah in the cave of Machpelah, which he had bought from a possession of a burial place from the children of Heth. Now, beloved, we have to give an account for our stewardship. What is our, what is my relation, what is your relation to God? Are we reconciled with God, or do we still live for our own account? And I told you the story of Abram and of Lot, but both saints are now in heaven. And on this side of the grave, they knew by faith that God had prepared a place for them in Christ. But now they know God face to face. We have to know by experience what Isaac underwent in a literal way to become willing in accepting our punishment. Free grace always goes along with unconditional accepting punishment. And that is not the fruit of man, not the fruit of flesh, but a fruit of the willingness of Christ. And God keeps over a willing people in the day of his hair, a poor people, but hoping and trusting on the name of the Lord. And may the Lord bless his own testimony for Jesus' sake. Amen. And let us finish by singing Psalm 110. 110 verses 3 and 5. Psalm 110 verses 3 and 5. Precious word, and let it be precious to us for Christ's sake, because we all have a never dying soul. And O Lord, thou art so worthy to be praised by all of us, and we are in need of thee, O Lord. We are not in need of us. Now look upon us and take care of us in thy begotten Son. O Lord, take reason out of thyself and bless thy word with power in our hearts. Lord, we live in a time, it is not so difficult, but it is impossible to live as a child of God in this ungodly world. But Lord, that we may stand in this world by grace, like an Isaiah who was crying out, he was such a big sinner, because he has seen the Holy One. O Lord, that we may see thee by the eyes of faith in Christ. O Lord, give us true humiliation, that we may go in the footsteps of Christ, that we may follow him. But thou have to draw us, O Lord, then we will follow. O Lord, increase thy kingdom, but we must decrease. We are not worthy that we are looked after by the good shepherd. O Lord, but because of him, thou art able to take care of us, because Christ is worthy to have sheep, and he will have a flock of sheep, a saved flock, a reconciled flock. But Lord, there are other sheep that are not of this stable. O Lord, that thy servants, thy real called servants, may go out to reach the unreached one, and that thy elect people may come to thee, especially the Jews. O Lord, remember the Jews in these impossible times. All nations are gathered against them, but be the King of thy people, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.